You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
As I stipulated, this conversation is going to be happening with Elder Lloyd, and we are going to be discussing what happens when a person dies. And on the line, we are joined by Elder Lloyd. Thank you so much for joining us today, sir. How are you doing? Hello, Elder. Can you hear us?
Yes. Good afternoon. Sorry, you're not too clear. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Oh, perfect. 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 Can you hear me now, though?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Lovely, lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. I was just telling our listeners that we're going to be talking about what happens when a person dies. And thank you so much for, you know, the willingness to take us through this very difficult conversation.
Sure.
Before we get started, I think it's important for us to say that this topic itself may sound slightly morbid, but it's something that, you know, no one in life can escape. You know, this is something that we'll either face or we'll know someone close to us that has, you know, died or at some point we will ourselves. Either way, you know, it's a common part of the human experience. I think over the last few lessons that have been discussed with Mr. Zama, you've been discussing what comes after death. And so I think right now we're just going to be discussing what happens to a person when they die. And I think the first question I would have for you, Elder, would be, what does the Bible tell us about what happens to a person after they die?
Right. I'll just say it in a very sarcastic way. That when you die, nothing happens.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know, you go to sleep. It's done. Yeah.
Yeah, because when you read, for example, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 5,
right,
it really says that the dead do not know anything. And their love, their hate, and everything there is ceases to be. Yeah, and I was just thinking that, sorry, there's a very bad echo. Is it from this end?
I believe so. On our side, we're not hearing an echo, so you're good over here, but I apologize if you... Would you like us to start this call again, perhaps? Would that be more...
No, it's okay. If you can hear me that side, then it's good. Right.
Yes.
I was saying nothing really happens when we die, in the sense that the Bible itself says that the dead do not know anything. And the moment one dies, their love, their hate, their jealousy, their aspirations and everything there is ceases to exist. You know, just as I was rushing to make this appointment, I passed by a cemetery, which is... on my way home, you know, nothing seems to be happening there. So the Bible is for real, that when one dies, that's it. I really love the adverb that one is no more. You know, when someone dies, we say that he or she is no more,
right?
Which in a sense to me means that they are no more than what they had been. You know, we had in a basic arithmetic less than. When we die, we are less than what we had been. I know that it is an issue that is taken as controversial, but I would want to posit that it is not controversial, but rather it is controverted. Otherwise, the Bible is clear as clear can be that the dead do not know anything.
Interesting. And I think like that then disputes the conversation of that, you know, people can still be there for you even in death or whatever the case may be, because the verse clearly states that, you know, the dead know nothing. Correct.
Yeah.
And do you think that sometimes, this is a question that is just, you know, my general question. Do you think that, you know, this illusion of assuming that, you know, you are more than, or you continue even in the afterlife, whatever the case may be, is just a way of dealing with grief? Or do you think that it came from a much more sinister place?
Yeah, I think it is two-pronged. I think you brought it well. Mm. Firstly, some people are well-meaning. Mm. They will try and gather some comfort from their dead are in a higher state of existence. Right. I really believe that a whole lot of people do try and get some comfort from that belief, mistaken as it is.
Right. Right.
There is also, as you said, some sinister plot behind it. When we look at the great controversy in its generality, that the devil would seek to throw in some very dangerous errors through what he claims to be spirits of the departed. So I would say that in all honesty, some people are honestly mistaken. Then we also have some who do peddle this lie for their own more motives.
Right now we are having a conversation with Elder Lloyd, and we're talking about what happens when a person dies. If you'd like to engage with us, please dial or send us a message on 073-470-3520, and we'll be able to add some of your questions here on in our discussion. But furthermore, the Bible itself often uses the words breath and spirit interchangeably. When a person dies and the body then turns to dust, and the spirit returns to the source as a parent, to God, what then happens to the soul? Or is that one thing?
Right. That's a very important question to bring, because I think we are not in dispute that our bodies, eventually, they decay. You know, I've had so many instances whereby municipalities would want to convert some cemeteries into residential areas.
Right.
They do flight notices in the press, and eventually, when they dig up the places, it's mostly nothing but dust. So, no question about that. That the body disintegrates. I mean, maybe for lack of a better word, back to dust.
Right.
Then whereby you bring up the issue of a soul, there is a very erroneous doctrine that is taught about this thing called a soul,
right,
as though this is some form of our being, which even when disembodied would fly up somewhere. Hmm. But we can never be further from the truth, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
When you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we hear that that God formed man out of the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, right?
Right.
No problem there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Bible says that, and man became a living soul. So a living soul is a composition of the formed dust, right, plus the breath of life. And those two combined become what we call a soul. So just as I'm speaking right now, it is a soul actually speaking to you. In the Hebrew text, the word used is a nefesh. You see, the Bible, in the Hebrew, it says something like, and God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a nefesh. Hmm. And when you read further on, when Jacob was leaving Canaan for Egypt, Genesis chapter 46, verse 26, the Bible says Jacob went with 66 nefeshes. You know, these were not disembodied spirits that went into Egypt. These were people who were walking on their feet. So
right. The
Bible definition of a soul is as we are right now. Myself, I'm a soul speaking on the phone. So when the Bible talks of a soul, it speaks of just who we are, a combination of our bodies and the breath of life.
Hmm. So essentially then that means a soul cannot be immortal?
Yeah, not yet. I would rather say not yet. as it stands, you know, I've just noticed a very, I don't know if I could call it a coincidence, but I would propose that it is more of a providence. You know, when you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, this is the point of a first instance whereby Moses writing gives us the composition of a man. But when you go to the book of Romans chapter 2, verse 7, just notice Genesis 2, verse 7 and Romans 2, verse 7. Romans 2, verse 7 says that those who persist in doing good are seeking for immortality. So they cannot seek for that which they already have. Just that verse saying that those who persist in doing good are seeking immortality means that immortality is not something that they do have as yet. It is something which God would eventually confer upon the saved eventually. But as for now, no. Very mortal are we.
So Elder Lloyd, if someone were to then, have a different experience of the verse that you just read, you know, are seeking immortality, can it be in the sense that, you know, the works that you've done, the example that you have put on earth, then becomes immortal? Not necessarily you as the soul itself or whatever, but, you know, your sense of being is lived on through others. I think, isn't that why a lot of people are constantly trying to make their mark or trying to be people who, are living out or have someone coming after them that can take over or whatever the case may be? Is that not a form of immortality?
I'm not sure whether I got you right there. My apologies. If you could just maybe come again.
Okay, so essentially what I'm asking is, you know, as you said in the scripture, it says that people are seeking immortality, right? And could it have been translated or understood in the sense that human beings are constantly trying to leave their mark, you know, constantly trying to leave something for someone to carry on, you know, like your legacy or whatever the case may be. And in that sense, you do become immortal, and not in the soul sense that we were talking about, you know, your being present and alive, but the fact that your teachings and your knowledge has then been, you know, extended to the next person or people around you or people that you have been in your circle of influence. And in that way, does that not make you somehow immortal?
No, I think that's in a very I'm too cautious about using the right word.
Right.
But I think that is a too different, too distant sense of immortality to seek.
Yeah. Okay.
I know that we would always want to leave legacy and be immortal. In that sense, I think maybe it is immortality that we can have whereby the marks we would have left on the sands of time, outliving us. I mean, but I think that's a very, very faint form of our immortality. By and large, I'm sure that when we talk of immortality, people are talking of living even when we are dead, which the Bible really speaks out against.
Right. And essentially then, does that mean that when we die, death is the final chapter?
No, it's just the beginning. There's a poem I once read that it is not death to die. The Bible's sense of death is that it is just a momentary sleep. There is a hope beyond the grave. But in the meantime, before Christ comes, some of us might eventually fall under the dominion of death. But far from being the end, it is just the beginning.
Right.
In the sense that there is a resurrection unto eternity eventually.
And if that is just the beginning, I guess this is also just the beginning of our conversation, you know, when it comes to talking about what happens when a person dies. And I think Zama Malote will be very excited to continue this conversation from tomorrow. But for those of you that have just joined us, we were just talking to Elder Lloyd about what happens when a person dies. And we're just getting into the conversation for the week. And thank you so much for joining us, Elder Lloyd. And we look forward to having this conversation throughout the rest of the week.
Yeah, and maybe just one more point before I leave is that Just this morning, I was reading about David being the one man which the Bible records as having been a man after God's own heart. Mm. You know, this was someone who really was a man after God's own heart, and God attested to that. But when you read in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 34, Peter says David is dead as dead can be, you know. Mm. So if a man after God's own heart is dead as dead can be, then what of us who are living in the 21st century?
Interesting point. For those of you that have like any comments or you would like to, you know, interact with Elder Lloyd tomorrow and perhaps maybe you have follow-up questions on what we've discussed today, remember you can send those through to 073-470-3520. But as for right now, we're going to say thank you, Elder, for joining us here on the line, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the rest of the week.
Same here. We'll talk tomorrow. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you. That was Elder Lloyd talking to us about the tricky or morbid subject of what happens when a person dies. And I think, you know, this is something we all know. I just think it's just an uncomfortable conversation to have. Even in a friend group, you can have a whole lot of different views on this topic, but this is what the Bible has said to us, and this is what we're going to be going through for the rest of the week, and this is how we're going to break it down as we go along. And if you have any questions or any additions, or perhaps maybe you, like myself, have like different definitions of what immortality may look like, you know, send those through to 073-470-3520, and we'll be able to also discuss that moving forward throughout the rest of the week.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.